Let us pray. God of love, Jesus proclaimed your blessing for those who are poor. Speak your grace to the poverty in our hearts. Speak your grace to the hunger in our souls. Speak your grace and bring us back to life of the beloved. Amen. A reading from Jeremiah. Now the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But Yahweh said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says your God." Then Yahweh put out a hand and touched my mouth. And God said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over powers, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of life. Thanks be to God. A reading from Corinthians. No matter how powerfully or eloquently I speak, if I do not speak in love, it is all just noise. If I know everything and understand life completely and have miracle-producing faith, but do not act in love, it's all for nothing. If I give away everything I own and die a heroic martyr's death, but do it without love, I've just wasted my time. To love is to be kind. To love is to have time for the other. To be generous, humble, and gentle. To let go of keeping score of faults, and instead to rejoice in what is good and true. To love is to bear willingly, to trust deeply, to hope boldly, to endure patiently. Love does not die. Beliefs will end, languages will fade, knowledge will exhaust itself. Knowledge and belief are not the whole picture. But there is a wholeness, and we let go of the part for the whole. When I was a child, I spoke and thought like a child. Becoming an adult, I abandoned those ways. Now we see through a foggy glass, but in time we will see clearly, face to face. Now I know only partially. In time I will know fully, and know that I have been fully known. We have these three gifts, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the 6th chapter. Jesus looked up at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the realm of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who mourn, for the time will come when you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when people revile you and insult you because of the human one. Rejoice. I say, leap for joy on that day, because your reward in heaven is great. For that is what they did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich. You have received your consolation. Who are full now, you will be hungry. What do you laughing? The time will come when you will weep and mourn. Listen.
Pray for those who abuse you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From someone who steals your coat, don't withhold even your shirt. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you just love people who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you only are kind to people who are kind to you, well, even sinners do the same. If you only lend to the people who will give back to you, even sinners lend to sinners just to receive all of that and more. No, love your enemy and lend and be kind, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your God is merciful. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's easy to love people who are easy to love, isn't it? People who make you feel good, people who just make you want to love them. It's almost like it's not really love. It's like it's just returning the favor. But you know how often when we speak about love these days, it's not really what we mean. We use that word, and what we really mean when we say, I love you, is I want you. Kind of like the way we say, I love pizza. What we really mean is, you make me feel good. You satisfy my desires. You meet my expectations. But that's all about me and what I want and desire and need and I'm comfortable with. Real love is concern for the other person and their well-being. And boy, is it ever hard to love people who make it hard to love them. It takes real love. To those who are annoying or hurtful, it's so hard to be kind to them for a lot of reasons. One is that when people have hurt us, it just feels like something needs to make up for that. You need some kind of payback. If somebody's been rude, then they deserve to be treated rudely. There's something in us that wants to keep score of faults, and love doesn't do that. It's also hard because if I'm really going to be kind to someone who is mean to me, then I have to let go not only of my judgment of what they deserve, but also I have to be vulnerable. I have to treat them as if they are as important as I am. Their needs and wants are important as mine, at least, if not maybe even more important. And I'm not sure I want to put myself so low as to consider myself the servant of somebody who's a scumbag. I want to somehow feel superior to them, or at the very least, insulate myself from being hurt again. But in order to really love somebody, it means to be vulnerable, to care about them even at the expense of my own fears about my self-worth and my security and my belonging. But it's that vulnerability that makes love as powerful as it is. I was reading about an incident at a junior high or middle school in which all these kids were gathered waiting for the bell to ring in this courtyard area, and there was some sort of scuffle, and this kid who wanted to cause some trouble, I don't know what was exactly going on, but he announced loudly enough for everybody to hear that this other kid is gay, knowing that the level of acceptance of that was pretty low, and knowing that this kid would not want that said about him. And it became immediately obvious that, in fact, he was gay, and he was terrified. He did not want that to be out there, and he was ashamed, and he didn't know what to do. And he just walked across all by himself and went to this bench and sat there while everybody else sort of formed this amphitheater around him and joined in insulting him and laughing at him. And even they started to throw pencils or whatever little things they had. It wasn't violent, but it was pretty mean. And everybody was in on it. Except this one little girl. Really, really little, small girl. Probably one of the youngest kids in the school. And definitely the quietest. She separated herself from the crowd and just walked over and sat down on the bench next to him. She didn't say anything. She just looked down at the ground. But she sat there. Till the bell rang. I don't actually remember from that story what happened with the crowd, how those other kids reacted. If they were willing to keep insulting if now it involved two of them or not. Because it doesn't matter. Love isn't a means to an end. It's the end. It is the way. She showed love to that guy simply by sitting with him on the bench, regardless of what those other people did or thought or felt like. Love isn't a way to get something else to happen. It's what needs to happen. And sometimes when we really love our enemies, we have to give up trying to make something happen that we want and just be kind to them. There's a guy named Randy who lived in this neighborhood where there were four properties that abutted all together. And right in the middle of the four corners was this low area that over the years seemed to kind of sink down. And it became this really ugly mud hole that was an eyesore for 11 and a half months out of the year. And they started talking among themselves about what to do about this thing that covered all four of their backyards. And the conversation was pretty creative, and they wondered if they should fill it in or make it into a pond, if they needed to engage heavy equipment, and what would happen with the little stone wall that was there. The problem was that one of those four was Adam, who was a jerk. He just was a rotten neighbor. He was mean. He did not know how to be kind. And every time they tried to talk about it, it just got worse. And they called a meeting with all four of the households to get together and talk about what they were going to do about the mud hole. And the conversation would just bog down around Adam and his opinion and what he wanted and what he didn't want and what he wasn't happy with and who he didn't get along with, because he didn't want anything and he didn't get along with anybody. He just bristled. And Randy was pretty frustrated, and he thought, I don't have the finesse to figure out how to get around this guy. And then Linda, one of his neighbors, almost visibly shifted gears and changed energy and sort of turned around toward Adam and said, "Adam, you've been here longer than any of us. I think this house of yours and the yard probably means a lot to you. Tell me about your property." And Randy thought, "This is stupid. He's just going to be mean, and we're not solving the problem. This is a waste of time." But Adam started in, and it occurred to Randy, "You know, actually, I know that Linda is a pretty shrewd negotiator. What she's doing is giving him a chance to just soften up. He gets to tell his story, and then finally he'll agree to a plan. Well, Adam kept talking and there was no softening. And Linda kept asking him questions about the property and his memories and how he cared for his yard and his garden. And Randy thought, oh no, this is sneakier than I thought. She already has figured out there's something in that yard that she needs to hear about. There's like, he had a pet and he's buried the ashes out there, or maybe even the ashes of his wife, and she's going to figure out by listening to him what's going on in that yard and how to work around it. But the more this went on, there was no strategy and there were no ashes. It was just Linda asking questions and Adam going on, until it became clear to Randy that Linda was doing this simply to listen to Adam, just because he'd never had a chance to tell his story. She just cared about him. And when Randy realized that, he said, the weirdest thing was then the conversation got back around to the mud hole and what to do about it. And Adam didn't change. I did. I was aware that I had the choice to either treat Adam the way he treated us or not. I didn't have to just reflect his badness back to him. Randy said, when I saw Linda treating him with such kindness and attentiveness, I realized the power there is in not letting somebody else make you decide how you're going to behave. Even though he was a jerk, Linda chose otherwise, and she had all the power. And when Randy saw that, he said, it changed me. There is real power in really being kind, even if it doesn't change other people. There's this strange thing that God says to Jeremiah, there is power that I have put in you when you live your authentic self. People aren't going to like it, but live it anyway. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, they didn't like it. They threw him in jail all the time. Nobody listened to him. But there was power in his words because God had put that there in his authentic being. When we live kindly, without letting somebody else make us choose how to react to them because we're just mirroring their meanness, we're the ones with the power. There's power even in the vulnerability of loving our enemies. The trick is, it's hard to trust that and to remember that when we're in the thick of it. But we have a couple things to help us. One is that when we're afraid for ourselves and our own security, our own power, our own belonging, our own image, God reminds us that is guaranteed. That's not up to Adam. It's not up to the gang. It's not up to anybody else. That's up to me. And you are my beloved. End of discussion. That's not negotiable. That's absolute. That's the love of that mother for her little baby, who can poop in his diaper and she will still love him. He can wake her up at 2:00 in the morning and she will still love him. That's the love of God. He can spit up on her favorite sweater, and in fact he will, and she will still love him. And when that little baby grows up and gets mad at his mother and turns into a disobedient little boy, she will still love him. And he can say, I hate you, and run away, and she will still love him. That's the love we have from God that gives us the courage to be vulnerable enough to love people who make it hard, because they don't know that. And when we're not sure we can remember that from day to day, from moment to moment, in the thick of those times when we want to just stop being nice to people who are being hurtful and be hurtful right back, we need to rehearse, don't we? We need to practice. That's why you're here. That's why we come week after week, because there is no other place where you can walk in those doors, and whether you're a saint or a scoundrel, whether you are an old friend or a stranger, we will call you beloved. This is the place where you can walk in and confess your sins like we just did. Make it public that you have things to confess, and we will forgive you. And you can practice loving people who make it hard to love them, because we all do that. And you can practice forgiving them. And if you get it wrong, we'll forgive you. And if people are being hard to love, that's because you're supposed to practice on them. That's why they're here. There are those weeks when you come here because you feel like you need it. And there are those weeks when you don't feel like you need it. That's when you need to come, because somebody else needs you. Maybe they need you to speak that word of love to them. Maybe they need you to practice being forgiving on. Okay, bring your crappiness in here and we'll practice being forgiving on you. That's why we're here, so that we can remember what it's like when we have the courage to be vulnerable and love even the people who make it hard to love. And we discover the power in that. Because that's the love we have. This love from God who is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Even when it's us. That love is guaranteed. Be merciful, even as God is merciful. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your love that we so often distrust. Let your love that you have shown us in Christ overflow in our hearts, so that we might love, expecting nothing in return. And know in that great reward. Gracious God, we pray for your Spirit to give us forgiveness for those who have hurt us, courage to be kind to those who make it hard. We thank you for your love, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.